tonight I have a lot of thoughts swirling through my head, and I'm going to try to present these in such a way that at the end of the night it'll make sense and be a help to each of us. But tonight I want to begin with one simple thought that we'll not come back to for quite a while, and that is this: our world's greatest need is men and women to be Christians. We need a spiritual awakening, and we need a spiritual revival in our nation and in this world. It is of utmost importance. Our world, believe it or not, does not need more technology. Technology is great. I'm not opposed to it. I have it. I like it. I enjoy it. But we do not need more technology thrown at us. We've got money. You say, well, I don't got any money. I promise you, compared to most of the world, you've got money. And we don't need more money in our society, especially not the American culture and the American society. We've got all the money we need. We've got all the money we could ever use wisely. And America is still in the shape that it's in. That's not what we need. What we need more than anything in America, and really even in our world, is a spiritual awakening, a spiritual revival, and that begins with God's people being Christians. In light of that, tonight I want us to think about something. I want us to think about the things around us that have been made because of a design. You realize, don't you, that everything that we see was designed and then created for a purpose. Right? Everything, some of you are thinking, I don't know about that. I promise you it's true. Everything that we see around us, it was designed and it was created for a purpose. I thought, now how could I illustrate this? So my mind got busy trying to put some thoughts together, and I thought of the simple microphone that sits, stands, whatever this does before me tonight. It was designed and it was created for the purpose of helping magnify and project sound. That is why this microphone was designed and created. That is the purpose in which it was designed and created, to help magnify and to help project sound. Now, oddly enough, it can't do it unless there were some other things that were designed and created to help fulfill that purpose. Because as you know, with the flip of a switch or the push of a button, this microphone can come unattached, and to do that, it just becomes basically a weird-looking wand, and so it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And so there are these sound cables that were designed and created to connect to this, that would then connect to something else, that would then connect to a soundboard, and there would also be cables that would go from this and from the soundboard into some speakers, and all of these things working together give us the ability to project and to magnify sound. If you were to look overhead and see the lights that are operating tonight, you know that they were designed and created for the purpose of giving off light. They were designed and created for the purpose of dispelling darkness. They were not designed for the purpose, and they were not created for the purpose of magnifying sound. They were designed and created for the purpose of giving forth light. And the fans that are circulating, they were not designed to give forth light. They were designed for the purpose of moving air and helping circulate air. And the piano that we have tonight, it was not designed to circulate air. It was designed to give sound and to give music. And the pews that you sit on, it was not designed to give forth music. It was designed to give you some place to sit tonight, to give some of you a place to sleep tonight. Now, that's not what it was designed for, but that's how some will take it. Now, follow this, please. Everything that you and I see, it was designed and it was created for a purpose. The clothes that we wear, the shoes that we wear, the cars that we drive, everything designed and created for a purpose. That in mind, here's what we know. Things do not always function according to their purpose. And according to their design and according to their creation. I don't know how it would happen, but you know that it could happen, that a microphone can quit working. It's no longer functioning now according to its purpose. Speakers quit, wires break, pianos lose their sound, and soundboards go bad, and pews break, and lights burn out, and all this other stuff. That which it was designed and created to be, and the purpose of which it is to fulfill, those things can quit and no longer function as designed and created. And here is what every one of us know, that when something stops working according to its purpose, it no longer has value to us. Unless we're weird. And I'm being serious. I mean, think about it. If this microphone went bad and we needed to replace it, and you said something like this, what do you want to do with that old microphone if I said keep it? You'd say, why? Well, you never know. Well, I may need a black piece of plastic one day that flexes on two ends. You'd say, that's kind of weird. See, I know that you'd think that this is weird if you'd just go into some of our storage closets around here. And you'd say, why are we holding on to this? I'd be, I don't know. We might need it one day. Why are we holding on to this? I don't know. We just haven't thrown it out yet. But think about it. When something quits operating according to its purpose, when something is no longer functioning according to its design and according to its creation, it really serves no purpose. When the coffee maker quits, you replace it. You throw the old one away. When the light bulb goes out, you don't save it because it might come back on later. No, you get rid of it and you throw it away. It is worthless. It is of no value. It is of no use to us when it no longer functions according to its purpose. Now tonight I want us to think about mankind. I think all of us know this, that actions speak louder than words. Talk till the cows come home. That's fine. Now do something. Tell me everything you want to say. Brag as much as you want to brag. Boast as much as you want to boast. Expound as much as you'd like to expound. At the end of the day, you got to do something. So this evening, here's what I'd like for us to think about. If we were to look at man, not talk to him, but just observe mankind, what could people assume must be the purpose of man's existence? If we're not going to ask them the purpose of their existence, if we're not going to ask them, why are you alive and why are you here on planet Earth right now? But if all we were going to do is observe them and then conclude, ah, this must be the purpose of man's existence. This must be why man was designed and created by God. Here is what we would see, at least in our culture. Maybe not in every culture, but at least in our culture. Here is what an outsider would assume if they just watched and did not visit and did not speak. One could conclude something like this. Man must have been designed and created for the purpose of working and making money. Why? Because money is what seems to drive mankind these days. On the way to church this evening, I stopped and made an errand, and as I was on my way to church, I could not help but notice work, work, work. All around us, work. Right here on a Sunday evening. I understand a beautiful evening. I understand a nice night. I understand all that. But you're sitting there, or I'm sitting there thinking, my goodness. That is what these people's lives revolve around. Work. Work, work, work. Work some more. Make some more money. Work some more. Try to make some more money. Work some more. Try to make some more money. And you would think by looking at them, is that what man was designed for? I mean, is that what God created man for, was simply to work and to try to make money and try to get ahead financially in life? You ought to know this by now. I'm not opposed to work. In fact, I'm strongly for it. I'm not opposed to financial gain and financial prosperity, but I'm telling you, as you look at our society today, here's what one would almost have to conclude, that mankind believes they were put on this earth to work until they die and make as much money as they possibly could in the process. And if that were not what one would conclude, they would conclude something like this: well, life must be about keeping up with the Joneses. Whatever that involves, whatever that entails. Well, the Joneses bought them a new car, so therefore we must buy a new car. The Joneses just went on this vacation, so we've got to go on a similar or superior vacation. This person just did this, so therefore we must do this. This person has their kids doing this, so therefore we must have our kids involved in this. And this person is doing this, and this family is doing this, so therefore that's what we've got to do. If we think that this world is not filled with competition, we're crazy. We've got to stay even, and we've got to stay up to date, and if at all possible, we got to one-up the competition out there. Because surely that is the purpose of mankind's existence. To compete with someone on some measure so that we can feel better than them. And for other people, it would be something like this: I'm just here to have a good time. Just here to have a good time. I'm not real worried about work. I'm not real worried about money. I'm just worried about having a good time, you know, just taking it easy, just relaxing, just enjoying life. You know, I don't want to get too worked up about this. Just want to enjoy life. But you and I tonight, listen, please, you and I tonight, we know better, don't we? You and I were not designed and created for the purpose of working, trying to amass as much money as possible. That is not why God created me. God did not create me after He designed me and then placed me on this earth for the purpose of trying to one-up someone else. That's never been God's purpose in my existence. God did not design me and create me for the purpose of chilling and relaxing and having a good time. So then why did God design me? Why did God design you? Why did God create us? What is our purpose on this earth? And here is what somebody might say rather quickly in response to that question. They may say something like this: well, we are here to serve the Lord. After all, that's what the good old song says: for I was born to serve the Lord. And understand, I know that God desires my praise. He desires my service. He desires me to worship Him and to love Him and to serve Him. But as Christ speaks to the disciples in this continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, He makes a statement that, in my opinion, in many ways it's been compromised as far as what Christ was truly stating, and it's been twisted and distorted a little bit. He looks at the disciples in verse number 13, and He simply makes this declaration. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, listen, many, many times in the course of preaching and visiting with people individually, I've said things like this: we're supposed to be the salt and the light of this world. And I understand that, okay? But tonight we're not going to look at verses 14, 15, and 16. Tonight we're just going to look at verse number 13. And I want us to focus on these words that Christ said to the disciples and He would say to us tonight. We'll get to the light part next week, God willing. But tonight He says to us, also the disciples of Christ, that we are the salt of this earth. When Christ said to the disciples that day, and as He would say to us tonight, ye are the salt of this earth, what does that statement mean? Well, here's what many people will say. Many people will say something like this, and please just reserve comment till later notice, all right? But some people will say something like this. Salt is used as an agent of preservation. Therefore, God was saying to the disciples that we are supposed to serve as an agent of preservation in society today, that in this crazy messed up world that we're living in, that you and I are supposed to preserve it and keep it from growing any worse than it already is. And that's good and that's fine, and Christians ought to help preserve the world that we live in. But I don't believe that's what God or Christ is saying in this statement. Some people would say something like this, that salt is used as a healing agent. You know, pour that salt into that open wound, and while it stings, it will help with the healing of that wound. And so, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to be that healing agent, and we're supposed to bring healing in the lives of those who are hurting. And it sounds good, and it sounds right, and it sounds appropriate. And listen, if we should be helping people do anything, it ought to be heal. But that's not what Christ is talking about here. Someone says, well, salt makes you thirsty, and based upon this, Christ is saying by the life of the testimony and the testimony of the disciples, our testimony ought to make people thirsty for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, it's true, we should, but I don't believe that that's what Christ is talking about. Why? Because he says in the very next statement, he says, but if the salt have lost his savor. What is savor? It's the substance or the quality of a substance that affects taste. It is the quality of a substance that affects the taste of something. Obviously, back in the days of Christ and even prior to him, they had the element of salt. Today, obviously, you and I still have the element salt, okay? And here's what Christ is saying, that if the salt has lost its savor, he is not talking about preservation. He is not talking about healing. He is not talking about thirst. He is talking about something that affects the taste of something when he speaks of the savor of salt. So what? Listen, what does salt do? It makes food better. Talk to somebody who's been on a strict diet by their heart doctor, and one of the things that has been taken out of their diet is salt. Ask them, how much do you enjoy eating these days? You know what most of them will say? I don't enjoy it very much. Why? Because the food no longer tastes as good as it once did. Why? Because the salt enhances the flavor of the food that you're partaking of. If you're not on a diet and you're eating something and you take that first bite and you realize this thing hadn't been salted, what are you grabbing for? Me and Brother Kirk are grabbing for the salt. Why? Because here's what we know. The salt is going to enhance and change the quality of the taste, and it's going to make it better. It is going to enrich it. It's going to make it to where we actually enjoy it again. So here is Christ. Please listen. Here is Christ, and what is he doing? He is speaking to the disciples, and he is saying, you are the salt of the earth. And as Christ is making this comparison to the life of the disciples, what I truly believe he is saying to the disciples is this. Listen, you, as you live this life in this world, you are supposed to make this world better. You're supposed to make this world better. Now, if a person only heard that statement, that you are supposed to make this world better, then here's what we know, that the world could take that statement, take that thought, and run with it a million different directions. How would you like to make the world better? Well, I'd like to make the world better by making sure that all children have coats in the winter months. Is that making the world better? Sure it is. Somebody might say something like this: I want to make sure that everyone has a place to live, a roof over everyone's head. Nobody in America should be homeless. Nobody should be sleeping on the streets. And I want to make sure that everyone has a place to live. Is that making our society and our culture better? Well, yes, it is. If you don't believe it, you try being the homeless person and see if your life got better or worse. Now, there are many ways in which people, just in and of good acts of kindness, can make this world better. But what is America's greatest need? It is a spiritual awakening, and it is a spiritual revival. Do you agree with this? Because some of you are looking at it like, well, I don't know. Listen, what we as Americans need more than anything in this world, is not more jackets on cold children, while I want jackets on cold children. What our world needs more than anything is not more homes for the homeless, while I think that is good. What America needs more than anything is for there to be a spiritual awakening and a spiritual revival in this world. Why? Because at the end of the day, there is nothing more important than the spiritual condition of mankind. If you send a sheltered, clothed person to hell, they still went to hell. If you send a person to hell because you didn't give them the gospel of Jesus Christ and things of that nature, but you took care of all their earthly needs, as wonderful and as good as that was, their greatest need spiritually was never met. And so here is Christ saying to the disciples, you're the salt of the earth. You are supposed to make this world better. So how does a disciple who was designed and created for making this world better, how does one do it? How does that happen? How does that take place? Follow this, please. Are we awake tonight? All right. How can I spiritually make this world better? How can you spiritually make this world better? It's kind of interesting. Consider the first several verses of this chapter. You know what will make this world better? Is if everyone in our churches were truly saved and born again. Now, I know that seems so obvious, and I know it seems so basic, but do you know how many churches are filled with tares among the wheat? People just going through the motions, people just doing the spiritual routine. It's on the outside, it's on the external that they're Christians and that they love the Lord and they know the jargon and they know the lingo. I mean, good night, if you don't believe it, just look at so many of your Christian friends on Facebook. One minute they've got the profanity coming out of their mouth and the next minute they're quoting some verse on Facebook just how much they love the Lord and blech. I've got a family member that I have the joy of spending Thanksgiving with this year. And I'm telling you, it is like a dual-spouted fountain coming out of their life. I mean, one minute it is absolute garbage. One minute you're just sitting there absolutely repulsed by it. And the next minute she's putting Jesus, the only way, the truth, the life. You know what would make the world a better place? Listen, as if everyone who claimed to be saved was actually a child of God because they had humbled themselves before a righteous God, admitted their sin, and was truly born again. But I know tonight every one of us are saved, and that's not even debatable. And Brother Kyle, don't even cast a shadow of doubt upon that. Okay, you know what would make this world a better place? As if you and I had a brokenness over sin in our life. Do you know how many times people in church will sit there and make excuses for their sin? There's no brokenness. There's no sorrow. There's no sadness. There's no grief. There's no remorse. They're just going to continue on living their way of life. Don't you question my salvation, and don't you confront my sin. There's no brokenness over their sin. Meekness? I mean, good night. Some of the most hateful people you'll ever meet call themselves Christians. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness? I know this is going to sound critical. I know this is going to sound so harsh and judgmental, but we sing or hear a song like Sweet Hour of Prayer, and I couldn't help but wonder, I wonder how many people in the last 7 days did not spend an hour in communication with Jesus Christ? How many people sitting in churches, how many people sitting in our church this past week spent no time hungering and thirsting for that which is right? What would make this world better by my existence? Me knowing without a doubt that I am born again. Me, again, having a sorrow and a brokenness over my sin. Me being meek. Me having a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Me being merciful, compassionate, kind, pure in heart. A heart that truly desires to be pure and right before God. Again, it sounds so critical coming from the Baptist preacher, but how many people's hearts are not pure in their desires, in their motives, in their ambitions? That's really not what they're worried about, is purity. And then you consider this idea of peacemakers. So many people call themselves believers, and they don't care one thing about making peace with those who desire to disrupt it. Why is America in the shape that it's in? Why is America really not? I mean, listen, I know from the human side of things, from the prosperity side of things, from the material side of things, I understand there's not a better place in the world to live in, so don't anyone leave here and say, if you'd like to leave and live somewhere else, you feel free. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this: America, when you look at us spiritually, we're really not that great a place to live. The sin is abounding. The immorality is all around us. The wickedness is thriving. The rights are going to the gays and the lesbians. The drugs are being legalized. I mean, just over and over and over, the stories can be told. And you look at this, and if you've got any spiritual discernment at all, you say something like this: ew, this is a messed up world. Why was I put in this world? Why was I placed on this earth? Why were you placed on this earth? To make this world better. And the only way that I truly make this world better is if I am salt. And when people come into contact with me, they leave better. Whenever someone crosses my path and the fingerprints of my life are now on them to some degree, the only way that I will have made their world better is if I have a heart to serve the Lord wholly and completely and entirely. Right now, I'm coaching the girls' basketball team for Leah's team. Absolutely the one, I mean, just one of the most miserable experiences I've had in a long, long time. Had our first game yesterday. It was awful. I sat there. I laughed sometimes. I put my head in my hands sometimes. If I hadn't been in public, I would have cried. It was horrible. But every time the girls would run to the huddle, you know what I was trying to remember? Be a Christian. Be a Christian. Why? Because it doesn't matter how bad we get beat. It doesn't matter how disorganized the team is. It doesn't matter how bad we get throttled in this game. What does matter, though, is my influence in their life for whatever time God allows me to have with them. I'm supposed to make this world better. Wherever God allows my life to go, I am supposed to leave it better than I found it. And the only way that I can truly do it and meet the greatest need of our society and our culture is when I am living the Christian life according to what Christ taught in the first several verses of this chapter. But notice what he said next in the verse. Toward the end, rather. He says, I'm sorry, go back to the first. I got confused. He says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor. I'm designed and I am created for the purpose of making this life better. But he says that salt can lose its savor. Christ never said that salt can lose its salvation. That's a good thing, friends. Like, smile or nod or act like you're alive. I mean, see, he did not say that salt loses its salvation. But he said salt can lose its savor. Salt can lose the quality of affecting the taste in a positive manner. Could I ask us a few questions tonight and you just be willing to answer them honestly, at least silently in your heart and mind? Have we ever known somebody who identified themselves as a believer, but when they came around, the home life didn't get better? Well, sir, ma'am, I thought you were a Christian. Well, I am a Christian. Then shouldn't you be making this home life better? Shut up, don't worry about it, don't bother me. No. See, you got to understand something, sir or ma'am. You were designed, you were created for the purpose of making life better, and your home life is part of it. And if you have lost your savor, then you're not making this home life as good as it ought to be, as good as it could be. If you're not truly born again, if you're not broken over your sin when sin takes place, if you don't have a desire to know God and His righteousness, if you don't hunger and thirst after that, then listen, sir, listen, ma'am, you are not making it better. Ah, but I'm making a lot of money. Who cares? It's not their greatest need. I can keep them caught up with all the other people that are around us, and I can spoil my kids, and we can hang out and have a good time. That's fine, and that's good, and I'm glad that you can. But if you're not making their life better spiritually, you have lost your savor. When you go to work tomorrow, have you ever known professing Christians who are good at making the company money, but they're not good at living the Christian life? Why is that? They've lost their savor. They're not living according to the truth of God's Word anymore. They're not broken over sin. They're not humble. They're not meek. They're not merciful. They're not peacemakers. They don't make work better. I'm not here to make work better. I'm here to make the company money, whatever it is. No, sir. Your greatest responsibility is to make this a better environment, spiritually speaking, because you're salt. Do you ever know people that didn't exactly enhance the, say, taste of church life? It's kind of like when they walked in, it was like, whoa, too much salt. Every area of my life and every area of your life, I'm supposed to make it better, even if the other people don't know why we made it better. I'm not trying to be weird. I'm not trying to boast. It's just a testimony that I thought was really neat. A couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night after church, Susie and I went into United, and the kid looked up and he said, my favorite customer. I thought, well, praise the Lord. So I called the kid by name and I said, hey, Noah, did you go to church this morning? No. Why not? Now, he doesn't, I don't know why he said, there's my favorite customer. I don't know why he said it, but he said it. I thought that was neat, and I thought it was a compliment, and I thought, it's the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to make people's lives better. I'm supposed to make your life better. You're supposed to make my life better. But if we don't do it, then what have we done? We have lost our savor. And if we no longer function according to our design, listen, if we no longer function according to our design and our purpose, then what are we? We're broken. And when we're broken, spiritually speaking, we're of no value. We're like the coffee maker that no longer makes coffee, like the toaster that no longer makes toast, like the microphone that no longer magnifies and projects sound. If you and I, as professing believers, are no longer making this world better from a spiritual standpoint, then friends, we're worthless. I can't believe you'd say that. I didn't. Christ did. Because he said in verse number 13, it is thenceforth good for nothing. Now, friends, when something is good for nothing, it has no value, no purpose, no worth to anyone or anything. The world's greatest need is not more money. The world's greatest need is not more stuff. The world's greatest need is not more time off and more pleasure and more recreation and all that other stuff. As good and as fitting as it is, what the world needs is for me to be a Christian, for you to be a Christian, for us to live out our Christian life in everyday terms, in everyday life, with everyone we come into contact with. And if we're not doing it, then we have no real purpose and existing. We are worth nothing more than some salt that Christ said, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Most of us don't walk on stuff that we think is valuable. Most of us don't walk on things that we think are of worth. Most of us don't walk on things that we think are significant. We walk on things that really don't matter much to us or to anyone else. Now, I'll follow one other thing, okay? And we're almost done. I know what time it is. He said in the verse, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden of men." But he throws in this one little question. Wherewith shall it be salted? If salt isn't salt, then how will it get salted? If Christians aren't salt, how will this world be salted? If Christians are not making this world better in the area it needs to be made better the most, if Christians are not doing it, then wherewith shall it be salted? It's not going to happen. More money is not going to fix the spiritual needs of our nation. More stuff is not going to stop the moral decline of our nation. Spending time and relaxation and rest and pleasure and all these other things is not going to be what turns us to having a heart for God here in our nation. If the salt no longer has salt, savor to it, how is this world ever going to see a turnaround and the things that matter most? It's not going to happen. We can shelter everyone. We can feed everyone. We can clothe everyone. We can give them everything they would ever need spiritually. But if I'm not making this world physically, but if I'm not making this world better spiritually, then my existence is a waste. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste what I was created for. I don't want to waste what I was designed for. I don't want it to be that in the eyes of the Lord, my Christianity is worthless. I want to make this world a better place spiritually. And the only way that I can do that is to know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. To have a brokenness over my sin when I sin. To be meek. To hunger and to thirst after righteousness. To be merciful. To be pure in heart. To be a peacemaker. To live the Christian life. That is the only way that I can be what I was designed and created to be. And the only way that you can be what you were designed and created to be is when you live the Christian life. Because in the end, nothing, and I mean nothing else, matters. In just a few moments when we're dismissed, and the Lord may take your life here and your path here, and you run into the store here and you do this and you visit with these people, you're supposed to make their life better. You get up in the morning and you go to work and you interact with this person and this person and this person and this person. You're supposed to make their life better. When you see family this week, when you talk to them on the phone, when you interact with your friends, whatever it is, you're supposed to make their life better. Even if they don't know why or how you've made their life better. That is what you and I are supposed to do. And we'll only do it if we're living the Christian life. Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray that you would use this message to remind us of the great importance of us being salt.